Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Changes.
We are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger. I'm your humble host, Kel Fritzy. Happy Valentine's Day, and I have a special treat for you a little later on. But I'm not going to delve too deeply into my personal life, as it were. I usually come on here at the beginning of the program and talk about my dog and my cat and cats and dogs and things and other things. But there are so many things that we have to get through tonight. I was remiss in reminding you that February 1st was World Hijab Day, which was founded to fight against oppression. I did not know about that. What a shame about that. We're fighting World Oppression Day. Wow, unbelievable. Yep, World Hijab Day. Yeah, it slipped underneath my radar. Yep. And, yep, to fight against oppression. World Hijab Day is celebrated on the 1st of February of every year. It started with a Bangladeshi American woman. Her name is Nazma Khan. This is the day when Muslims and non-Muslims wear the hijab or the veil to support personal freedom, particularly for Muslim women who suffer from social oppression and ostracism. World Hijab Day was celebrated in 116 countries for Muslims and non-Muslims, women all over the world. Oh, yeah, and I my apologies. I'm probably not pronouncing that right because, you know, Barack Hussein Obama, he pronounces it Muslim because he's the authority, right? Right. But all the same, World Hijab Day. Didn't see that one. But yes, going back to script. Now, the goal of the movement is to foster global connection and understanding of Muslim women and to affirm the concept of freedom of self-expression and religion practice. There's a book that should not be judged by its cover, is the English saying that sums up what veiled women fight for. Yeah, veiled women fighting for. God, I find that hilarious. Oh, golly geez. World Hijab Day. Are you kidding me? Organizers of the campaign founded this event because of the great number of women all over the world, especially in Western countries, who are discriminated against and alienated by society. Oh, gosh. Okay. Let me repeat this, please. Organizers of the campaign founded this event because of the great number of women all over the world, especially in Western countries, who are discriminated against and alienated by society. But this gets crazier, folks. Nevertheless, it is a human right to wear whatever suits her. Many think that hijab-wearing women are forced to conceal their hair and bodies. To add insult to injury, they are sometimes thought of as brainwashed and pathetic. But ironically, this kind of racism empowers, dignifies, and liberates women who wear the veil. Oh. Oh, give me a break. Really? This is what the bill of goods they're trying to sell us? Really? They are thought of as brainwashed and pathetic? You are! It's called Sharia. Oh, let me get back to the article I'm citing. Judging women by appearance is generally offensive, as it overlooks, if not rejects, women's intellectual and mental capacity. You don't have it underneath Sharia. Founders of the World Hijab Day encourages all women all over the world to wear the hijab for a day to experience what Muslim women feel like. Stoning Asuria M? Hello! No, I'm not interested in wanting to experience what a Muslim woman feels like. Oh, I'm sorry. Barack Hussein Obama, it's Muslim. Yeah. This is really quite the article. It goes on to say that women play a vital role in society. Regardless of their choice of clothing, they are active, engaged members of the community. They become doctors, engineers, lawyers, accountants, politicians, and scholars. They are the mothers through which a community is created. Muslim women who wear the hijab are also part of the community. They achieve success and are capable of reaching high professional political and civic positions. Oh, for God's sake. Are you guys buying this claptrap? I'm going to put the article in the chat room right now because I'm sure as hell not buying this. There you go. They try to cite examples of high achievers within the Muslima community. They cite one, her name is Aisha Farooq, and she's a female fighter pilot in Pakistan. Okay. Hello. That should be alarm bells right there. Huh. She is one of five women who have become pilots in the Pakistani Air Force. Oh, and this one I might give a pass, but if she wears a hijab, I might stop her at the gate. Her name is Ashia Abdel El-Raham, and she used to write under the pen name of Bent El-Shatia. She wrote many books and essays on criticism, and world. Oh, they have another one here. Dalila Mugahed, who is the first Muslim woman to join the U.S. President Barack Hussein Obama's administration. She was selected as advisor to the president in the White House on faith-based and neighborhood partnership. Okay, how many alarm bells do I have to put up here? Come on. But this article cites that these unique women have different roles in society, yet they all share the same religious principle of wearing the hijab. They have implicitly proved by their hard work and intellect that women wearing the hijab should not be discriminated against or looked at as inferior or feeble or easily exposed to religious deviations. Oh, you know, I'm going over this sentence again. They have should not be discriminated against Oh, quite the typo here. I'm a grammar queen. They have implicitly proved their hard work and intellect that women wearing the hijab should not be discriminated against or looked at. Okay, if I were an editor, I would say nor, because neither nor, neither there. Oh, yeah, the articulist can't even put in the proper grammatical spelling, so whatever. But all the same, this is the reason why Khan, the initiator of World Hijab Day, was keen on publicizing the event on social media to allow women from all over the world to participate and thus reflect on their own experiences of wearing the hijab to others who have misconceptions about Muslims and the hijab. And I put the article in the chat room for everybody. Oh, thank you, Mona Solomon, for informing us of this. What really, really pissed me off, though, is that they invited non-Muslimas to engage in this February 1st World Hijab Day. Now, there's a reason why I brought this up. It's because there's a lot of things afoot in our public school system. And should I say systems? No, I'm discombobulated because I cannot believe some of the things that I'm reading. When I do research on these things, it just drives me absolutely crazy. It just appears to me that there's a movement afoot, and it's happening within our public schools. It's happening here in Canada. Everybody knows I'm a Canadian, and everybody knows that I have a real burr in my saddle in trying to track down the Education Minister of Ontario, Liz Sandals. When I see articles like this World Hijab Day, which took place on February 1st, of this year, and you look at this picture of this little Muslima, and she's smiling, and she's got the big blue eyes and the perfect teeth and the clear skin. She's beautiful. Have you seen the Afghan girl from the 1970s? That's the real hijab. That's the real oppression. There is nothing in the Quran that dictates that these women have to wear a face covering, a hijab. Well, the face covering, of course, as we know, would be the niqab. But the hijab, okay, maybe that would be it. And Bigfoot, yeah, the one from the National Geographic cover, yes. That would be the one I'm referring. But the thing is that there is nothing that dictates that they have to cover their hair or anything like that. So World Hijab Day is absolutely foreign to me. But what I find equally offensive is that they want non-Muslims to engage in World Hijab Day, which is celebrated on the 1st of February of every year. If you notice in my show highlights, I do have that burr. Because, hang on a sec. Sorry, I had to hit my cough button. There is an issue going on in Canada, again, and it's happening in the United States. It's happening in the United Kingdom, and it's happening in Australia. The latest one is this. The Ontario University, it defended their decision to kick a non-Muslim out of a class on Islamic prophesizing. And that's right, prophesizing. This is the Huron College, and that is from the University of Western Ontario. It's called the Muslim Voice, Islamic Preaching, Public Speaking, and Worship. It was according to the syllabus, open to Muslim men and women who offer religious leadership and or speak publicly about Islam on behalf of their communities. But what happened, and this is unbelievable, folks, is that the school allowed a non-Muslim to enroll in the course, but then kicked him out. And this is unreal. This is unreal. This person enrolled in a university course. Now, this is publicly funded. This school gets $6.5 million a year from the government, i.e. the taxpayer, i.e. me. And they initiated this course, and this person enrolled, and he was kicked out because he was a non-Muslim. They thought that he might be an auditor. Now, what that means is absolutely unfathomable to me. My apologies for my thick teeth again. But what is going on here, ladies and gentlemen, is that they are initiating these courses in that if you enroll in it, you are not guaranteed a seat in the classroom because they call it enrollment. It's limited. It's given to matriculated students, which means that matriculated students, you have first priority. And this particular course, if you're matriculated and you're a Muslim, you're in. What happened is that this gentleman, he tried to engage in this program, and he was dismissed when it was discovered that he was not a Muslim because, oh, I guess he didn't know how to prophesize. Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of dirt, though, behind this course. One in particular, one of the characters that play here, her name is Ingrid Mattson, and she's a former president of Muslim Brotherhood Front Group, ISNA, which is the Islamic Society of North America. The school has said that Mr. Watson, that was the student at question. He could re-enroll in the course if he were willing to take it for credit, and they defended the need to restrict the class to Muslims or people who serve the Muslim community. I'm just reminding you again that this is from the University of Western Ontario and their satellite here in college. This is just beyond the pale to me. That a non-Muslim would enroll in a publicly funded course only to be de-indexed from the class list because it turns out he's not a Muslim and that they would think that he was an auditor. which was never proven, by the way. Ingrid Mattson, she messes around quite a bit, this one. Like, she's quite the piece of work. I don't even know to begin with her, but she infiltrates everything. I have a very lengthy clip here that I could play by Sun TV, but I'm not going to because it's 11 minutes long, and you guys come here to hear me drop the F-bomb and bang my desk with my truncheon. But, yeah, this woman, she's all over the place. She's in the United States. She's in Canada now. And let me see. Let me give you a background on Miss Mattson, shall I? And she encouraged Mr. Watson to take one of her alternative courses on Islam and politics instead. And this is what she had to say, though, on the 3rd of February of this year. She said, "Right-wing Christians are very risky allies for American Jews because they are really anti-Semitic. They do not like Jews and enter into the alliance on the basis of fundamentalist beliefs that it would be desirable for all Jews to return to Israel." What the? What? Really? So we're really anti-Semitic. And we hate Jews. You are spinning, lady. Spinning. Spinning. Ingrid Mattson, by the way, she's a Canadian convert to Islam. She's a former president of ISNA, which is the Islamic Society of North America. And, of course, we know that is a Muslim Brotherhood front group. And this is she gave prayers. She gave Islamic prayer at Obama's inauguration. She offers attitude, no apologies for the Fort Hood Islamic mass murder. She said, after the murderous Fort Hood shooting rampage, which 13 people were killed, one was an unborn baby, and wounded more than 30 others by U.S. Army psychiatrist and longtime jihadist Nidal Hassan, Mattson stated, "I don't understand why the Muslim American community has to take responsibility for him," meaning Hassan. "The Army has had at least as much time and opportunity to form and shape this person as the Muslim community." This woman is barking mad. I would like to play a clip from her, but you know what? You guys just finished supper, and I don't want to, you know, make you throw it up. But this is unbelievable and beyond the pale. I can't believe this. I'm going to bring on my friend Moving, because he has a lot to say about this as well. Hi, Moovin. I think he's
Hey, Kel. You know,
hey Moovin.
My friend Old Hep was going to call in tonight, but, you know, you called me out. You called out Moovin. Still Moovin, and thank God we're all still Moovin. So Old Hep won't be out there tonight, but he's on the line. He's wanting to call into your show. But Old Hep, you know, he's got a problem. He hasn't been able to get any maple syrup since Obama took office in the USA. You know, Old Hep was going to call up there to Canada and say, hey, you know, he hasn't been able to get any maple syrup and, you know, tap those trees. But, so I'm glad you're out there calling it all around the world against these, this onslaught that we're facing, you know, all this stuff. And you can't be out there alone tonight. So, you know, it's just me moving, calling in with a little bit of support for, you know, Kel the Red Fox.
Oh, well, you, moving, as you know, when I do the Red Fox Blogger solo on Friday nights and somebody calls in, I very rarely let them go. I kind of take no prisoners in that I don't release them. So if you're sitting with me, you're going to be here for quite a while. No, I'm kidding. I'm
okay,
kidding,
Kel,
moving.
I'm here. I'm on the line, and I won't hang up without permission. But I will put one plug out there, and I want to put a plug out for 200 years ago, back in American and Canadian history, that you know, we all fought for our freedom, you know, moving forward with freedom, and the Canadians and the Americans all fought for their freedom, and what they got going on today, and now we, you know, we're up against it. This new world order stuff. That's my plug. We don't want to put up with that new world order stuff, or that UN stuff, or that Sharia stuff.
Oh well, so. Moving. We're dealing with the fifth column right now.
I don't know what
right
that
here.
Is, Kel. You got to
right
tell me
now.
What that is. Fifth column.
What it is that the fifth column is a system of stealth. And we have a system of cooperation within our realm of democracies and our republics, but there is an outside force that moves in. And the fifth column, for example, is the Muslim Brotherhood. I think that Barack Hussein Obama is part of the fifth column, and that they're from the outside and they're working in, and that they're determined to engage in an imposition of our democracies.
Oh, okay.
And republic.
Well, fifth column. There's a parallel to that, and you know, just me moving. And I'm sorry, I'm way unprepared to call in to discuss this topic tonight, but I did hear a little bit of. On that EDL show with, you know, Tim and Jeff and all those elocutions there that were, you know, speaking. The fifth column. Wow.
No, we're not going to delve on that one too much because it's not important. And, well, it's not important to the discussion at hand. Of course, it's important for people to be aware of this, the fifth column. But what I want to do tonight in particular, I want to talk about something. I want to get into issues that are really, really bothering me. It bothers me in that our educational institutions are allowing Islamic issues and Islamic that they're pressuring our public institutions moving. And I cited this one a little back, and that was the Valley Park Middle School. And that they were turning the public school cafeterias into, well, the cafeteria per se. They were turning it into a mosqueteria. And that they were shutting down the cafeteria. They were shutting it down for other students. And that these Muslims were allowed to pray, right? And the reasoning was that the Muslim students were otherwise leaving the school Friday afternoon, right? And they weren't coming back. And so the school acquiesced, and they said, well, okay, look, what we're going to do is that we're going to allow them to pray. But one thing they did is that they allowed an imam to to come in, and that goes against our principles, because we separate church and state. I've always had a little bit of a problem with that, but that's a sidebar, and that's my own issue. But years ago, under our new constitution, our Charter of Rights and Freedoms in 1982, they eliminated prayer from school. And so, okay, so what's happening here in Canada is that they're violating that charter, and that they are allowing a quote-unquote religious figure to come into our public schools. In this case, I cite Valley Park Middle School in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and they shut down the mosque, and they set up all these barriers. They have the boys in the front, they had the girls in the back, and then they had the ministrating girls in the very back. They can't pray because they're ministrating. And then they allow an imam to come on to school property, and they hold their Jumping Juma Freaky Friday. This is my complaint. I have been dogging Liz Sandals. She's the Minister of Education in Ontario. I have been dogging her. Oh, my God, moving. I have been after her for about a year now. She won't even... At first, her handlers would return my emails in which I would... I'm always very polite, because you have to be when you're in this sort of business. But she would not return my emails. Her handlers would. And they would ask me, well, what exactly is your query? And it's like, why are these schools being shut down every Friday afternoon in public schools? And why are my tax dollars supporting this? What are you going to do about this? And Liz Sandals, she's afraid of me. She won't get back to me. Oh, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you scroll up in the show highlights, I did put a link up there where you can contact Liz Sandals, because I have her in my crosshairs big time. And moving, this is what I'm getting at. She will not get back to me at all. I am so sick and tired of this. And I pay property taxes. Right, moving? I pay property taxes. And it's like, about 60%. Well, the biggest chunk out of our taxes, it goes towards health care and it goes towards school. I'm trying to figure out a way how to get out of paying the school part. My property taxes my next installment is due at the end of February. I'm wondering, how can I break it down so that I don't pay the education tax? What do you think, moving? Are we on to an anarchy here?
Oh my, Cal. I didn't expect to call in to this story from you tonight, from Canada. But and I didn't mean to call in to commiserate or give false testimony to what you're doing with your show. But I will, if it's okay, to give some context, a southerly context from Canada, what me moving is put up with along the same issues.
Okay. Oh, I think you and I can agree.
Yeah,
oh, I think you and I can absolutely agree that there is a real issue with our public schools.
Well, Cal, let me move and tell it. Oh my gosh. My daughter was homeschooled all her life, and at the same time went to the private schools. 20,000 dollars a year. Okay. And the problem is that problem is that the local and state government here in the USA, in Maryland, what I experienced, I retired from the U.S. Army in 1998 and was married for 22 years. And it's very hard to tell this story, but everything's, you know, is what it is. And I will share that. Wow, this is hard. I lost my daughter in 2012 to a lung transplant, and I had homeschooled her and paid private schools as well for her education. And the problem was that the local government was promoting this alternative value, gay agenda, and they were promoting this high taxation, you know, for prosperous people, okay? And things, you know, just for me moving, I've got a great life and things are good, but the worst thing in my life is I lost my daughter. During that time, all that time, the school system was, you know, wanting to, oh, send her to school and do all these things and all these alternative values. It was hard. And, oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's okay, movie. Like,
We should not give our kids to the state. You know, it's up to us to raise our kids. And, oh, I didn't expect to call here tonight to hear it, to tell you that.
You know what? That's the thing, is that my teeth are still fighting me. But we relinquish our children to the government system in that...
Oh, no way, Kel. No way. I've never given my daughter up to the state health-wise. No way. Every day I raised my daughter, I never gave a day up to the state. Not a single day. Didn't do it.
Yeah. And I am so sorry, Moon.
No, it's okay.
I did not realize
okay.
that. But you know what? This is what this show is about. This is what we're all about, in that we're a family here, and we can talk amongst ourselves. We are intimate, and we can talk about these things, and we can share, and we can grieve, and we can empathize, and we can share our experiences. And moving, I don't think anybody, my worst enemy, your worst enemy, would ever want to experience what you went through.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kel, we should not give our kids up to the state. That's my point.
Yeah.
I had the greatest experience raising my daughter that any person could have, and I'm satisfied with that, you know. But what's most important is we cannot give our children. It's very hard for young men and ladies to grow up right now, and they're trying to make a life for themselves. But the problem is, you know, their rights are being taken away, and we can't let that happen.
Oh, and that's absolutely it. And I'm so sick and tired of the government dictating to our children that this is how it's going to be and this is how it's going to go, and that you're going to follow the path of the curriculum that we've laid out for you. And it seems that parents lose more and more control. I've always said this moving in that you have to ensure that you can have an alternate path for your child's education and that homeschooling. Homeschooling, I always say that if you can, I know it's very unfeasible for a lot of people out there because they, I mean, it's tough out there right now. It's very tough to get out there and ensure an education for your child. If you cannot homeschool or if you cannot get them into private school, at least ensure that you're getting your nose in your child's textbooks. When your child comes home from school every day, we have to get back to the 1950s philosophy of sitting around the dining room table at night and while we're eating our supper, we have to engage our child. But it is a very, very important that it is something that we have to do. We have to sit around that dining room table and we have to engage our children. And we cannot, ladies and gentlemen, this really, really pisses me off. Today's day and age with how fast we move. Your child comes home from school and they put a pop-up in the microwave and they go up into their bedroom and that's their supper and they're on the computer. No. That's got to stop. That's got to stop. What we have to do is that if you cannot afford homeschooling, if you cannot afford private school, you can afford your time and you can afford to look into what your child is learning. I am so sick and tired of hearing stories about kids coming home from school and they come home and they drop their books in the foyer and they immediately run up into their bedrooms and they get on the computer and they're doing this and that or the other thing. Maybe they're tweeting or maybe they're on Facebook. No, enough of that. What you have to do as a responsible parent is that you have to get them down there around that dining room table and you ask them what is going on in your classes. What are you learning? Let me see your textbook. Let me see your syllabus. Let me see your curriculum for this semester. That's what you have to do.
Oh, Kel, that's awesome. I think you pegged it. We can't have three kids in our household, mom, dad, three kids, and everybody, talking via text instead of at the table. Can't do it. It's not going to work out.
Well, that's it exactly, and that's pretty much the premise of my show tonight, is that I have been really, really, really upset about what's going on in the colleges, the universities, the high schools. Valley Park Middle School has always been a thorn in my side. Liz Sandals, Ontario Education Minister, she still won't return my calls, Boothin.
Well, how can I say it? Where I live, there's a lot of good kids, 500 kids graduating every year, local high school, maybe 2,000 kids at the high school here, out here in Maryland. There's a lot of moms and dads raising good kids, but at the same time, there's a lot of moms and dads that are ignoring their kids. And, the greatest gift that we have is the same gift that our parents gave to us. They say the greatest generation, back in the day, but I think the greatest generation is the generation of today. And if you're ignoring your kids and, I guess my philosophy is, you know, we're the most comfortable generation that the world experienced. Anyone who's in this call and on the internet tonight, and Kel on your show, Kel, we are the most blessed people in the whole world, and our kids are the most blessed. But if there's people out there that are being ignored and you know, they're just looking on their little screen and not interacting, and you know, that's no future.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to happen for them. And we have to bring God back into the equation. We have to introduce the Bible discussion, family chat. For example, there's no television in my home, nothing.
I don't have a television in my home. Actually, I do, but I don't have cable. The only thing I have, the only cable I have running through my home is via my computer, and there is only two computers, and one is mine and one is my husband's, and we have television sets, and
you need that for video and
for
stuff.
Basic news. Yeah, we don't watch TV around here. It's garbage. It's total bullshit. And part of my French, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry, moving. That was disrespectful.
That's Johnny walking. That's okay.
Okay. But, yeah, we don't watch television. We don't watch the garbage on there. We don't watch the mainstream media or anything like that. What I'm more interested in is the heartbeat of the citizen journalist and people that call in to these radio programs. Red Fox Blogger, for example, I encourage people to call in and talk with me. And because this is your format, this is your forum, and this is what I want to do. Other radio shows want to do that as well on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio and other forums. Because we're it's a comfortable forum, and we're just here and we're just talking and we're sharing, and you know, when I get into a topic and I'm talking about this Islamization in my public schools in which I'm paying my tax dollars, it really gets my blood boiling. I like it that I have this avenue in which I can share and say, look, there is something going on, because, you know, I worry about things like 1618 OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or I don't know what they call it. Oh, jeez. It'll come. I should know this.
Probably New World Order. You know, Islam is the linchpin for the New World Order, Agenda 21.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it just worries me when these organizations start taking over. Like, there are 56 Islamic states in the United Nations, and they are dictating how we are going to conduct ourselves in the educational system, and that worries me. 1618, and that is their manifesto in which they will declare that there will be no religious discrimination. But what they did, and what we do not know, and what the populace does not know, is that they wrote up that manifesto underneath the guise of Sharia law. So you cannot kill an innocent, but the innocent is the Muslim. We're the infidel, and they are gunning for us in that. And that, and the United Nations, they're giving that a pass. Like, and here we go. I said cooperation. The OIC is actually the Islamic Organization of Conference, and so I apologize for that. but
wow, Kel, why apologize?
It's,
I mean,
just,
you know,
unreal.
We should not have to apologize, and you know, to these you know, Sharia rights or whatever they are. You know, here in America we have the Constitution, and you know, there's a lot of contention going on. And May 16th, and you know, there's a big 10 million people going to show up there in D.C. In America, and you know, you're out there in Canada telling it for a lot of people. And
by the way,
there's a lot of distinguished people in your show tonight, and I think, you know, maybe it would be a good idea maybe to, you know, do a roll call if I'm not overstepping.
No. Oh, moving. You know what? I have very, very wonderful people in the chat room. And moving, you're right, because we have you moving forward, joining. And moving is my esteemed caller this evening. But we have Agador. We have Ava Indiana. We have Bigfoot, who is one of my mainstays. Bigfoot has pretty much been with me since the beginning of when I started Red Fox Blogger. We have COG. We have Doc, who has also been with me virtually from the beginning. We have Eric Kyle, who has been a very supportive of the work that I do. And moving forward, I am so appreciative of you calling in.
Hey, Kel, I have to step out for just a minute, but I'm going to shout out to my big brother Bigfoot. I hope he calls in. Or Doc, maybe you'll call in tonight. Or Eric, but I got to step out for 3 minutes, Kel. So,
do you want me
but
to
I'm going
to
hang
you,
on the line.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. Do you want me to, just keep you on the line and put you on?
Well, that would be my distinguished privilege. I got to step out for 3 minutes because there's somebody at my door. So I'll be right back. And,
well, you go right ahead and do that. This is quite a fascinating conversation that we're having, moving. So I would be more than pleased to keep you with me. Sit sidebar with me, as it were, in the second chair. So go ahead and do what you have to do.
Okay, awesome. Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Red Fox blogger, and I'm talking about issues about the school systems, our public school systems in particular, and that we are having quite the issues. I'm sick and tired of parents hearing about their kids coming home from school. And what did you learn today, honey? Oh, I learned that Islam is a religion of peace. And what do you mean by that? Well, they taught us how to pray, and they taught us how to dress, and they taught us how to do this, and they taught us how to do that. No, that is not the way it rocks and rolls, people. It doesn't rock and roll that way. Not a chance. What is going on is that our public schools are being infiltrated, and you heard moving. He was talking about his child, in which he was homeschooling his child. It was $20,000 a year it was costing him. Like, that is unbelievable. I know homeschooling is very, very, very expensive. I know. And you also are at risk in that, in this day and age. When you homeschool, you cannot set up your own curriculum. Do you know that if you want to homeschool your child, you have to follow a government-sanctioned curriculum. So your child is obligated to learn certain curriculum. And you have to ensure that that child has studied that curriculum. What is in that curriculum? Can you get your child in public, private school, rather? Can you get them in a private school, which is faith-based? Can you do that? It's all government-controlled today. I remember about 20 years ago, my girlfriend, she homeschooled her child, and all she had to do was send a syllabus to the Ministry of Education in Ontario, and she said that this is the plan, what I'm going to engage in, and this is what we're going to do. And all of a sudden, it changed. She got her own syllabus back, and she was like, well, what the hell's the point? Like, the whole point of my pulling my child out of public school was so that I could educate him. I offered up the syllabus. Like, why are they so gung-ho in infiltrating on what I want to do with my own child in terms of his or her education? This is absolutely nuts. And that's exactly what they're doing. Is this Hillary Clinton all over again? It takes a village? No, it does not take a village. It does not take a village at all. It takes you, the parent. It takes you. You take responsibility for your child's education. And I'm going back full circle right now, and I'm saying to you that I have been dogging up here in Canada. I have been dogging Liz Sandals about what is going on in the public schools. If I cannot afford to homeschool, as Moving pointed out, it's like $20,000 plus a year, and private school, $20,000 plus a year. But if I have no choice and I have to put my child in a public school, then why can I not complain about what's going on within that public school? Valley Park Middle School, ladies and gentlemen, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the Mosqueteria is still going on every Friday afternoon, and they're bringing in an amen. In 1982, when we wrote our Charter, our Rights and Freedoms, and go to hell, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, I hope you burn in hell for that one, that there was something called separation of church and state, which disappoints me. It breaks my heart because I remember it growing up as a child, and I was attending my public school, and we would go to our home room, and we would stand up, and we would we would sing God Save the Queen, O Canada, and we would pledge, we would pledge to Canada. We would recite the Lord's Prayer. And that's not happening anymore. And that really breaks my heart. The thing is that it is what it is. Okay, I can take it that way. I can take it lying down that way. No, I can't take it lying down that way because I do not understand how that happened. But it did. Now, under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, church and state separated within our public school system. However, the Muslims are allowed to engage in their mosque and our public schools. I do not understand this. And Liz Sandals, why are you not responding to my pleas for an answer? I'm very polite. I'm very, very upfront in my queries. Why are you not responding to my emails? Do we still follow the Charter of 1982, or are we falling back, or are we giving special acquisitions to these Muslims? And Moving, are you back?
Hey, sister, how you doing there, Kel? And, you know, you're out there telling it, and it is Friday. So, you know, I got a lot to say, and I think you're there telling it. Why are those folks in Canada paying money to, you know, have some, like, foreign stuff imposed on their kids? And, you know, same thing here going on in America. Ah, same stuff. So if you have a question, I'll answer that about
Oh,
that.
I know. But you know what I need to do is I need to take a musical break because I'm just getting myself wound up and
hey, give
moving.
Me a chance, Kel. Give
really
me a chance to say something.
You sitting with me.
Hey, Kel, give me a chance. Kel, pick your musical break and give me a chance to rant a little bit too. So.
Oh, you've got it. And I've got the song right here, which I'm going to play. And
okay, can I give a rant first, or what do you want to do?
Yeah. You know what? Go for your rant.
Okay. Well, Kel, you pick out your song, and it's, you know, Kel's show tonight. And, you know, God bless everybody here on, you know, Kel's show. I got a little bit of a moving rant, not a mean-spirited rant, but I want to say that, you know, open up your Bibles and open up your constitutions there in your own countries, whether you're in Canada, the U.S., or New Zealand, Australia, U.K., and all those awesome republics around the world. And, you know, the Bible says stuff about Israel, and you know, we should be supporting what God's will is, and you know, we're supposed to be raising good kids, and the government has no place raising our kids. It's our families raising our kids. You know, good moms and dads raising good kids. That's all that we're trying to do. That's
yeah.
all moving, saying, and that's all I'm saying. And you know, I don't like the idea that you know, we're going to have to give up our kids to pedophiles or sodomites or all these, you know, alternative values. You know, God's going to judge us. It's all in the God's plan, and that's just me moving. So that's my rant for the night, and. You know, thanks for letting me tell
that's
that.
That's all
Kel.
You got in you?
Ah, you want more? Oh, oh, man, I got lots more. But that's my rant for the...
Oh, you know,
well,
moving?
Thank you.
I'll tell you. God love you. And... Yeah, we're going to take a break, and I'm a little overdue for it. And ladies and gentlemen, you know what? It is Valentine's Day. Like I said at the beginning of the program, I hope that you're, you know what? I'm very blessed that I don't need you to tell me one day of the year that you love me, because I know you do, because I love you. 365 days of the year, but Valentine's Day is rather fun. It's a very moving day for pardon me, for a lot of people. And hey, it's you're the fellow infidel. So we're going to take this break, and I'm going to refresh my tea because hang on. Actually, I'm going to refresh my cough drop because I've been talking all day long, all afternoon, with various people, and moving knows that. Don't you moving? Hey, over
yes,
there
just,
at Jeff's place.
Just your tea with the little Johnny is walking, and you'll be fine.
I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take this break, and moving and myself, we're going to see you back here in 5 minutes.
My name is Cupid Valentino, the modern day Cupid, and I just want to say one thing, happy Valentine's Day. I don't think y'all heard, man. I say happy Valentine's Day. Can y'all dig that? Now, when arrows don't penetrate, see. Now look at here, he shoots straight for your heart. Now, and he won't miss you. So that's alright, y'all won't believe in me anyway, but
you won't believe in me, but you think every time
when Cupid knocks at your door,
you can't ignore me.
There's no need to run. So happy Valentine's Day. Hey,
every day's a 14.
Now I may have it all wrong, see, if you know what love means. Well, somebody tell me, 'cause they just don't believe in me.
And hi, everybody, and welcome back. I once again want to reiterate who is joining me tonight, and that is Agador Bigfoot, COG, Doc, Eric Kyle. I have a couple of guests here. Moving Forward, who is joining me on the line. And I want to thank Sue, my sweet Sue from New Mexico, who is joining us. Now, I'm going to switch gears here because we are we're well into the second hour. I want to share with you something, and this is rather interesting. I wasn't sure if this was an urban legend, but I took it to, I took it to Urban Legend, and I took it to Snopes, and I took it to various websites, and this was apparently republished on very well-respected blog sites, and that includes Atlas Shrugs and SIOA, Stop Islamicization in America, this is rather interesting, and Moving is still sitting with me, so I'm going to ask him to comment on it when I'm done here. But this is a letter from Ireland, and it goes along the lines of this, and I'm going to read it verbatim. I'm going to let you decide in the chat room what you think about this. Here. It comes from Irish citizens stand against Muslim invasion, okay? And this is from January 16th of 2014. So it's not too long ago. And this is an open letter. And it reads as follows. We are the defenders of Ireland, and we take offense of Muslims in our country. We will defend this country by any means against the expansion of the Muslim faith. We are ready as the true holders of the Irish people, heritage, and history to use whatever powers we need to stop you, the Muslim people, who have got no right to be here on our island. We will attack any Muslim man, woman, and child that enters any mosque in Ireland, and especially if the new larger mosque is built in North Dublin, and our children will attack you in your schools. Okay, this is sounding rather harsh. This is why I went to 14 different sources, but it is being carried, and according to Snopes, it's true. Muslims have no right to remain in Ireland. The Irish people are not happy with your presence in this country, which belongs to the true Irish people. Just because some sad politicians back you being here, they have never spoken for the majority of Irish people. All of the leaders can shake hands as much as they want, but the true fact remains, the Irish people do not want you here, and we are now tasked to make sure you and your children become aware how little we want you here. You have never shown any integration in any country, and this is evident by huge Muslim walls and gates around the mosque. Muslim taxi drivers are being attacked, not for money, but because they complained about Christian status at taxi ranks up and down the country. How dare Muslims complain in this country that this is not theirs? How dare you make hospitals remove Christian statues? You tell us in our own country that it is up to us who needs to do more on integration when it is the Muslim people who are in our country. We will defend our culture at any cost. We will and will defend our Christian faith at any cost, and will attack any Muslim or person we feel is Muslim. Now, disclaimer, I'm going to sidebar. I find this very, very, very harsh. Very harsh. This is not what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. We're not attacking the hapless Muslim who wants to emigrate. That's not our interest here on the Red Fox Blogger, okay? This is why I have quite an issue with this letter. This is just absolutely unbelievable. I put the link in the chat room if you want to read it. I didn't even put this on my Red Fox Blogger. But like I say, it seems that this is an authentic letter, and I totally disagree with it. This is just, this is not what we're up to do. But I have somebody here right here. I have moving with me, but I have Sweet Sue that wants to come on the air right now. Hi, Sue.
Oh, hi, Kel.
Hi, baby.
Hi. This just goes back. You're into another subject. I don't know if you want to take it, but when you were talking about education and the private schools in Canada, do they have to follow, you know, what the government says? And also moving, is that what's happening in the United States, you know, with the private schools? I haven't heard much about them. And also, Moving, what do you think about the Common Core and their pornographic book, which ties right into Islam? And I just
The Common Core. Man, I could spend 2 hours on that one, Sue.
Yeah. I was just curious about that because I don't know. Are your private schools also being dictated to? Are they being allowed to remain separate?
The private schools, they have, they have a curriculum in which they have to follow a certain guideline, but it's not as harsh as Common Core.
Okay. Do they have to comply with the Sharia?
Yeah. What the? Oh God, no. But what they have to do is that they have to follow the basic guidelines, in that they have to follow the the three R's, which kind of always bothered me because reading, writing, and arithmetic was, R, W, A. But, yeah, they do have to follow the common curriculum, as it were. But after that, they can dictate, for example, they can establish their own social study programs and things like that. They have to follow basic science programs, but they're not beholden to the government, the provincial governments, whether it be in Ontario or whether it be in British Columbia. They're not beholden, but they do have to follow a basic curriculum. That's about it.
Okay, thank you. I mean, that just struck me, and I really wanted to know what was happening in Canada. Well, your upcoming topic is fascinating, so I'll get off. Thank you, Cal, and happy Valentine's Day, 365 days of the year. Bye.
100 hearts to you, my dear, and you cannot see the chat room, but I will convey to you that there is 100 hearts going out to you right now.
Well, sending hearts to the chat room, too. I really just continue. I don't know, that was burning in my mind, and thank you for your answer.
I love you, Sue, and welcome back.
Okay,
welcome
thank
home.
You. Yeah.
You bet.
Okay, bye.
Okay. And I have another caller here. I have a 0182, and I have Agador. But I'm going to bring on 0182 right now. because he's been holding quite a bit. And hi there.
Kel? Hello?
Jim!
Kel, how are you?
Jim!
How you doing? Can you hear
Ladies
me?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim from Boston. How are you?
Not bad in yourself. Can't complain.
Not too bad at all.
Well, I was just, I'm not on my computer tonight, but I was listening to that letter that you were reading. And I had the BBC News on. Just, you know, I still have it on. And they were in the Central African Republic, which is having trouble with the Muslim population. And they were interviewing a bunch of the Christian fighters.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. And the Christian fighters basically said, we want them out of here or we will kill them all. All of them. They meant women, children, and everybody else. And, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, when I was watching it, and then you read the letter about this Irish group over there in Ireland wanting to defend what they believe in. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, you might have to take to the extreme because, as you and I have discussed and people in the chat room that are, you know, hearing me, you know, the bottom line is these people, this cult, this non-religious organization, as you know, they don't care. I mean, it's just like I said, was it last week? You get one in your neighborhood. Oh, hi, how are you? They're nice and friendly. And then everything goes to hell when they get a whole bunch in and then they try to dictate things differently. I resent the fact that that letter, if it's how true it is, that I, you know, I don't resent the fact, but, you know, it's terrible that you have to stand and speak something like that. But yet then, you know, maybe they see what goes on in Egypt, what's happening in Iraq with the Maronite Christians, the Coptic Christians. And, you know,
exactly.
When does it stop? When does Western civilization finally draw the line in the sand and say, screw you ragheads? I mean, myself, like I said,
exactly.
You know, like where I live at, we have no problems yet. But it's coming because, as I've said more than once, they're going to use your freedoms and my freedoms against us. And they're doing it perfectly through political correctness, indoctrination, infiltrating the schools. Well, I want my child, who is a Muslim, to teach your children, who aren't Muslims, our way of life. Baloney. Assimilate.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and Jim, I am so glad that you're here. I have a couple of people here that would probably want to have a word with you. I have Moving here with me tonight, and I have Agador with me tonight, and I'm going to bring Agador on, and he's going to address that. And Agador, hello, and welcome to the show. And you're speaking with my dear, dear friend, Jim, from Boston.
Jim, what's up? And Kel.
Agador, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great,
Hi, Agador.
Yeah, and Moving, hope you're doing well. Look, I see this in two different places and two different sets of circumstances. Central African Republic, you know me, Kel. I've been talking to you and the EDL people, and I put some stuff on my show for them and whatnot. They've got problems over in the UK, but their problems are nothing compared to what's been going on in Africa. The non-Muslims there, the non-Islamics, are getting the armed responses together because it is flat out war over there. They have their backs are to the wall and they have no choice whatsoever. But I wanted to address that letter that was put out in Ireland, because this is one place where people who want to fight this Islamic creep that's going into all of our countries have to be real careful. Because the war is for the territory inside people's heads. And if the media gets hold of that letter, they're going to say people like, the EDL, Restore Australia, organizations in the United States, all of this are a bunch of white supremacists and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You guys all know the rest of the crap. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking it's one of two things. Now, Mike Holt was saying that there is an EDL in Australia, but that it's kind of been taken over by white supremacists. You know, I don't know if you were on the thing that day or not when he was telling that to Jeff. So we have to be afraid of that because we want to welcome in everybody that wants to get this scourge of Islam under control and back in people's homes. People can worship the way they want in their homes. Just keep it off our streets, okay? So we have to keep the white supremacist mess out, but also we have to be careful because some of the pro-Islamics might well put out letters like that one from Ireland. It may well be real, but it might have been really put out by someone who's on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood or some organization like the UAF or who knows who. So we not only have to be strong and determined, we have to be smart.
Oh, yeah. Some people, like you just said, anybody can make up a letter and say, well, that's the so-and-so brigade, and it's not. You know, I mean, you have to be careful. But what you said, you know, previously, if the media, but see, the media, no matter what, if you stand up, you know, as you know, like if you say anything bad about Obama here, you know, people will turn around and call you a racist and a bigot.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely, Jim. Absolutely, and that's the way that the ball is bouncing right now, and I'm sick and tired of that. It is really disturbing to me because that is how he is winning his little war there over there. But I was wondering what Moving thinks about that as well.
Oh, my on?
Hi, Moving.
Can you hear me? What a bunch of awesome people here. You know, Colin spitting about going back and forth tonight, but... you know, just me moving. And, hey, you know, Kel, Red Fox, Red Blogger, Kel, you're awesome. You're out here kicking the can down the road when most people can't kick a can. So you're kicking the can in the spam. So thanks for that. But, I want to say that my family, you know, has all races, you know, if you name a race, it's in my family, and you can't speak untruthfully or without conviction in my family. And I want to say that what's happening is that there's a lot of people around the world trying to divide us all in all our countries, and we can't let that happen. We can't.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Canada, Australia, New Zealand, United Kingdom, we can't let that happen, especially in the USA. Me, Southern U.S. American, we can't let that happen. So what I'm saying is, just me moving, is it's not about race.
You know,
it's not about race, and we can't let that happen. And what's happening is these new world order monkeys
are trying to push
it down our throats.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I went into the second segment, and I was reiterating this letter from Ireland, and I'm glad that Jim is here with me. Because Jim is pretty much one of my mainstays on Fridays. And, Jim, when I was reciting that, I have a question for you. Do you think that would be something that we could should we be emulating this sort of thing? I understand the frustration of the Irish people in that they're fed up to hear with this. But do you think that this is the approach that we should take, that one thing that disturbs me is that in this particular missive, it says, we will attack any Muslim, man, woman, and child that enters any mosque in Ireland, and especially if the new larger mosque is built in North Dublin. I know there's an issue with the mega mosque there, but the wording of this letter, Jim, does that concern you at all?
Well, it does to a degree, because then it brings the Western world down to their ignorant level of what they're doing. You know, I mean, you saw what happened there. Was it earlier this week or last week? You know, the suicide instructor accidentally blew himself up. That would bring us down to their ignorant level. What has to be done, you meet them face to face and you fight them through all legal means. And then eventually what will happen, they will show their true colors because, oh, my goodness, they're standing up to us. We can't have that. In the name of Allah, we're going to strike back our way. It's just like what those bombs that were set off in southeast England that they found. I was reading something on the EDL. They were finding all sorts of allegedly bombs that were placed at recruiting stations. Now, maybe somebody there might have done it. Maybe not even the Muslims did it, but somebody to, you know, foment some trouble. But I think first and foremost, the Western world, where I think we are a heck of a lot more civilized, people might laugh at me, but I don't care. We're a lot more civilized because we're not sending our young with a suicide vest on to kill innocent people on school buses or what have you. We got to meet this scourge, this disgusting tidal wave of filth face-to-face and enact laws. And if it fails, we just keep at it. I mean, they wanted to build a mega mosque down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I mean, a site of a famous Civil War battle, a Calvary battle. I mean, as I've said numerous times on your show, when are we going to be able to build a Christian church over there in the Middle East?
Hey, Kel, can I jump in?
Absolutely. Jump in.
Yeah. Hey, brother there in, just me moving. God bless for your testimony. I'm hearing it for the first time. I don't know who you are, but,
Well, I'm stuck behind enemy lines here in Massachusetts, land of liberal loonies.
stuck behind enemy lines here. And,
allow me to introduce Jim. Jim has been my mainstay on my Friday night program for close to 2 years.
That long now? Wow.
Yeah, hey, it's been that long, Jim.
Yeah, so what's going on here in Maryland is Barack Obama, after he became president in 2008, I guess Turkey and a bunch of other states, they built a $100 million mosque here in Maryland, right outside the Beltway there, next to the Mormon temple there. You know, they closed down a Catholic Christian college, went bankrupt, something like that, and now there's a $100 million mosque built there on Route 29 in Maryland, nearby where Moomin's at. And, I don't get it.
I mean, when they come into your neighborhood and they want to build, they don't want to build something that will accommodate maybe 200-300 people that sits on something like maybe 2-3 acres worth of land. They want to take the whole neighborhood where they can fit in 2,000-4,000 people on a weekly basis, coming in there, kneeling down and praying to their moon god.
Yeah, you got
give
it.
Give them
so,
an inch and they'll take the whole ruler, baby.
My friend, it's an irrefutable fact that they built a $100 million mosque right next to NASA there. It's a national mosque. $100 million mosque right there in D.C. They built it. It's almost done there. And it's right down the road. And, man, it's scary. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I want to cry.
You know, if you were to trace the money.
Oh, I know. And so do I, because I see these things going up all the time. And I co-host on another program, and that is EDL Radio. And I was speaking with Glenn Saffer, and he is one of the ROs for the East Anglian EDL, and that there is something going on over there in England regarding mega mosques. And Agador was listening to the program earlier today. And Agador, when you hear about these mega mosques going up, my goodness, I don't even think I need to ask you what you think.
Well, look, I even saw these things when I moved up from Texas, or before I did. You know, I mean, in Texas there are a lot of flat areas, and you'd be driving along I-35, and, you know, you just see, you know, this giant mosque just come up out of nowhere. You know, and just as an aside, you know, I got to tell you, Kel, there must be something about you because, you know, Jim's behind enemy lines in Taxachusetts. I'm behind enemy lines. I'm behind enemy lines in the People's Republic of Vermont.
Oh God!
this is the center, the East Coast center for political correctness up in here. You know, beautiful weather. We're having a great New England winter right now. But oh my God! I mean, I'm surprised. I'm shocked actually that there are no mega mosques here. I'm just waiting for it. You know, and it could be because we have had an influx, a big influx of, you know, Somali Bantu refugees that were moved in here, and the ordinary people of Vermont didn't take well to the fact that they really didn't want to assimilate at all. You know, so that's just a pretaste, really, of what we can expect if a bunch of Islamists move in. And I want to say a word about that. The word, you know, I usually don't use the word Muslims because every time I do, or, you know, I'm thinking every time I do, somebody from the other side is going to go, well, you just don't like brown people. No, I go after their you know, supposed religion itself. Not all Muslims are bad, but Islam is all bad.
Yeah,
that's a nice way of putting it.
That term, yeah, they've diluted that term racism. That's been played and overplayed and overplayed and overplayed. But my concern is that we have an issue in Canada right now where they want to build a community center. But essentially what it's going to be an area in which they're also going to build high-rise, and it's going to be Muslim-only high-rise. I talked about this last Friday night, as a matter of fact, and the Jewish Defense League picked up on my program, and they spread it around, and I'm glad that they did. But that's the thing. If you build it, they will come. And I want to ask Moovin about this, and that when there are issues with Islam and within, I don't want to get too heavy about this because we're actually running quite out of time, but moving, I want to give you the last, I want to give you 2 moments to sum up what you think about this topic in that the mega mosques.
Oh, Kel, thanks for letting me have a few minutes, and you know, I appreciate all your distinguished guests tonight. I'd like to say that I think that all of us Christians and, you know, people of faith, you know, our Judeo-Christian values in North America and around the world, we need to reflect. And I just want to put out a small prayer, if that's okay. A small moving prayer. And my prayer is that, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, please, we know we're waiting. We believe in you, Lord, and we know that you set our faith and values. And we know that deliverance is coming, and we know it's close to the end times. And Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for everyone. I pray for everyone tonight on this show. I pray for Kel, and I pray for Agador and Eric and Cog and all the listeners tonight on the show. I just want to say that I believe that we are close to the end times, and I believe that to those folks who are not saved, that we need to ask those questions.
Thank you.
We need to do that. And God bless everyone tonight on your show.
Thank you, Moving. Thank you
Moving,
so
thank
very,
you for the
very
uplift.
Much. And Agador, you've got 2 minutes to... what do you think about the issue of Islam in America, in North America, in Canada, in Australia, in the UK? What are your thoughts?
Well, I look at it, you know, here in the States, we have basically decided a long time ago, you can worship the way you want as long as you don't hurt anybody else. And that's not how the Muslims roll, okay? You know, the Indians don't do what Muslims do. Christians don't do what Muslims do. Hindus don't do what Muslims do. Okay, Buddhists don't do what Muslims do. All the rest of us worship the way we want, leave each other the hell alone about that kind of thing, and just have the common streets for everybody. That's not good enough for Muslims, as we've seen, as Eric in the chat room will tell you, or as any of the EDL fellows will tell you. They want it all. They want the streets. They want government. They want to create moral laws that everybody else has to live under. They want a complete takeover of the moral side of things. And they will use socialism as a means of doing that. And socialism is very happy to have them in hand to make that happen. That's why I always talk about the global socialist hegemony. They will use Islam as a means of religious control. So I say in the end, Islam is fine as long as they keep it in its place, but keep it off our streets. And we have to be vigilant and make sure that that doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
You know, but
Jim, you're getting your moments in here. And I suppose that you could gloss absolutely off what Agador said, because I certainly can. But when it comes to the issue of Islam in America and North America in particular, and the United States in particular, but North America in general, and the UK, what are your thoughts, Jim?
You know, the bottom line is that the state control, and I like to say it, our media is controlled by the government. It is state controlled. They won't tell you the truth. I mean, I was shocked in a way that they put on what Karzai said. And our men, Canadian servicemen and NATO members, are going to be killed once again by these 66 Taliban terrorists that Karzai released. Now, get back to the States here in North America in general, because when the media gets on something that they believe in, they're going to hammer it, and it's so sad that people swallow it. Now, people tell me, well, I like Fox News because I believe I'm getting what a lot out of it. You know, the Benghazi, Fast and Furious, oh, Fox is lying. Well, they're saying things that CBS, NBC, ABC won't say. And the bottom line is, Islam is, like they say, creeping Sharia is coming in. And yet then, the state-controlled media outlets in this country do not want to upset the apple cart because we don't want to offend anybody. And I've said it more than once on your shows, I am tired of this bull crap of offending somebody, because if I don't offend somebody somewhere on Facebook or at work, then apparently I'm not doing my job as a human being expressing my beliefs, my convictions about something. And like I said, with the Muslims coming in, now we're taking Muslim immigrants in from Syria, Iraq. Who are they? What are they going to do? And as we've discussed, and I've seen it mentioned in the chat room too, a fifth column to raise havoc. And I've said it before, look at the Zarnev brothers, two ragheads. All the trouble they caused here in Boston at the Boston Marathon of the bombing, two of them, and they had hundreds and hundreds of cops and armored vehicles, helicopters. Now you get a whole bunch of these terrorists, Islamic terrorists, these jihadists that are infiltrated our countries, and they're trained better than what these two bozos were. Can you imagine the hell they're going to wreck on Canada and the United States? Am I putting any ideas in somebody's head that is listening to this who is a Muslim? No, because they're planning it. They want to do it. As they caught a couple of them out at the Quabbin Reservoir, I think it was last year, they caught them out there at 2 o'clock in the morning, for God's sake. So one's an engineer. One was a chemical engineer. I mean, come on. You don't go out there. That's our drinking water. What are they up to? I mean, they are not to be trusted. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, it's just like, I wish I could spell that word, tequila. But the bottom line is, people have to understand that word, tequila.
It's spelled so many different ways.
You know?
You know, it's like anything with the Islamists. They spell words so many different ways, and I spell it T-A-Q-A-Y-Y-A, and I stick with that. But, gentlemen, we are out of time, and I want to thank you, all of you, for being here. It has been a wonderful program. I started off a little rough because I was losing my notes a little bit, but you gentlemen, you made the program what it is, and that is par excellent. And I want to thank
thank you
Moving.
For being out there. I'm glad I found Blog Talk Radio.
I'm glad you found me.
Yep. I enjoy my Friday nights.
There you go, Jim. But it's true. I really do appreciate the program in particular tonight, because I did have a wonderful people. Oh, okay. I had, what can I say? Agador, Jim, Moving. It was wonderful. Sue from New Mexico. People in my chat room, you guys make this program what it is, because if it weren't for you, I couldn't do it. I really couldn't, ladies and gentlemen. And we speak from the heart. We really do. I don't pretend to be anything that I'm not, because I'm just here and I'm just trying to convey. And the premise of the topic tonight was that we have to be apprised of what's going on in our public schools, and we have to be apprised of what's going on in our universities, in our colleges. Like, please, ladies and gentlemen, I implore you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, and just be apprised of what is being taught, and be apprised of the lobby groups. Be apprised of the student associations, whether it be, sign up for... World Earth Day. Fine, whatever. But also be apprised that there are other entities out there, like the Muslim Student Association, and be apprised that they are trying to prophesize. Just be careful about that. Jim?
Yep. I'm still here.
Moving, Agador, I want to thank you very much for being here tonight.
Okay, thank you, thanks for being out here. Appreciate it. Guys, nice talking with you and sharing our opinions on what's going on. And the bottom line is education. Get a hold of your kids, your grandkids, and teach them the right way after school. Set them down.
Amen.
Word up,
Jim. You got it, Jim.
So, look, everybody, have a good night. God bless. God bless Canada and the United States and the EDL over there, whoever's listening. And sooner or later, we're going to stop this scourge of Islam from slipping in and trying to convert everybody and convert our ways of life. They're not wanted. They're not welcome because they don't want to assimilate. To hell with them.
You've got it, Jim.
Well, take care, everybody, and God bless. After that, what I just said, I'm telling everybody, God bless, but the true God. Okay, folks, take care and good night.
Thanks, Jim.
Take care, Kel.
And everybody. Aw, thank you, Ecuador. Everybody, remember, we have to stick together. We have to stick together in the counter-jihadist movement. Because there is a real threat out there, and it's called jihad. It's called Islam. Islamists are amongst us, and we have to stop the insanity. Like, it is. Like, it's really, it's amongst us. It's in our parliament. It's in our it is in our Senate. It is in everywhere. It's infiltrating itself. It's very, very, very nasty. It's our obligation to our children to stop it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's mass Islamity. We have to stop the insanity. Have a great evening, and I'll see you back here on Monday at 3 p.m. with my fellow host, Tim Burton. Good night, everybody.